rings, Abner. I believe that's our ring.
Aye, dog is Lum. I believe you're right.
I'll see. Hello, jot 'em down, store. This is Lum and Abner.
See what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, as we look in on the little community today, we find Abner and Dick Huddleston at the hotel talking about the forthcoming reception. Listen.
Oh, yeah, I reckon the whole town will be here. Law made announcements over the party line, invited everybody.
Well, I guess this will be one of the biggest affairs Pine Ridge has had since the medicine show was here, Abner.
Oh, yeah, Law. And I know they'll all come, for Law told them he's going to have refreshments. Oh, you're going to have something to eat, too, huh? Oh, sure. Brother Abernathy's back there in the kitchen making up a batch of popcorn bowls and cookies and cakes, one thing or another.
I just noticed, and I like the way you got the lobby decorated here.
Yeah, well, Lum and Trixie done that. Trixie went out yesterday and gathered all them wildflowers, and her and Lum spent the whole morning decorating in here.
They did, huh?
Oh, had the time of their lives, laughing, cutting up like a couple of young'uns.
Yeah. What's the platform for down at the far end, Abner?
Oh, that's for the music to set on.
Music?
Yeah, Mose Mooch is going to bring his fiddle over, and Luke Spear is going to pick the guitar.
Well, say, this will be a good place in here to have a dance here in the lobby. Plenty of room. Ought to have a big time tonight.
Oh, yeah, we'll have. Doggies, if I can get to stay, I reckon I will.
Get to stay?
Yeah, I'm just afeard all this goldenrod they brung in here will fetch on Elizabeth's hay fever, and she'll light into sneezing and have to take out for home and natural drag me off with her.
This time of year, I don't believe it'll bother none, Abner. Later on in the fall, it will.
Yeah. Uh-oh, there comes Lum through the lobby. Got back quicker than I thought he would.
Yeah, where's he been?
He's been over to meet Miss Emmeline. She called up a while ago and said she's in town, and he tore out to see her.
Say, he's gonna be in between two fires with her and Trixie both here, ain't he?
Yeah. He don't know that I telephoned Miss Emmeline at Belleville and told her he was carrying on with Trixie.
That's more likely the reason Miss Emmeline came back to Pine Ridge, too.
Yeah, don't you never let on to him that I done that now, Dick. Oh, I won't.
Well, gentlemen.
Miss Emmeline get here all right, did you know?
Yeah, she's over at Sister Simpson's boarding house.
Yeah, how's she looking?
Oh, fine. Looking uncommonly well.
Well?
Yeah, that couple of weeks vacay done her a lot of good, I believe.
Hey, Lum, what are you going to do about tonight? Which one of them are you going to take to the reception?
Well, I think I got it worked out now to where I can take both of them.
Both of them?
You see, I told Trixie I had a cousin coming in. I'd have to sort of be nice to her tonight, too. And
cousin?
And then I told Miss Emmeline that Trixie's a cousin of mine, and her and me both would come by for her.
You mean that you're going to take Trixie along with you when you go after Miss Emmeline?
Yeah. That way I can be with both of them.
What did Miss Emmeline say whenever you told her Trixie was your cousin?
Oh, she just taken it hook, line, and sinker.
She did?
That's what I call managing. I can dance with either one of them now all I want to, without the other thinking anything about it.
Well, I don't know. I believe I smell trouble in it, Lum. You said yesterday she was going to make out like you sick so you wouldn't have to go tonight. And I still believe that's the best idea.
Yeah, but this way I don't have to stay away from her.
There's the switchboard again. Just a second. Bell, Captain. What? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sirree, sir. Be right up with it. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. Where are you going?
Ice water for 206 again. Be back a minute. Don't go away, Dick.
Well, goodness, if he ain't a sight with that get up on.
Yeah, I walked in here a while ago and saw him with that bellhop uniform on. I almost laughed in his face.
Fits him out like a sock on a rooster.
Oh, he's taking that bellhopping seriously.
Sleeve down clean over his hands. His collar's supposed to fit tight, but I bet you could slip that coat right over his head without unbuttoning. He could roll an apple in there.
Yeah, I noticed it's way too big for him.
Hey, he was sitting here this morning smoking a pipe and dropped off to sleep, and a far out of the pipe dropped down under the collar. You ought to saw him.
Gave himself a hot foot.
Oh, he jumped up and tore over here and started turning in the forearm before I could stop him.
You know, if that little cap sat on the top of his head that way, Lum, and them chin whiskers sticking out over that collar, he looks like he ought to be on the end of a chain dancing around a grind organ. Don't tell him I said that.
Well, he insists on wearing it.
You know, I thought that Abner was the assistant manager and Cedric was the bellboy.
Well, he was, but he made Cedric swap jobs with him.
Swap jobs?
Cedric was making too much money out of the tips these folks was giving him. Them three fellas from Chicago give him a quarter every time he goes up there and brings him something. They keep him running all day long.
How many guests have you got here now, Lon?
Well, let's see. Let me look at the registrator here. Yeah, first was Trixie Van Dusen, you know, from Chicago.
Yeah, sure.
And then there's a man and his wife and little girl staying here. Let's see, what is their name? Oh, yeah, Mr. and Ms. John Smith and daughter.
John
Cicero,
Smith.
Illinois.
Cicero? That's up near Chicago, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. And these two old maids here, Miss Sarah and Miss Ella Mae Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
Mighty nice old ladies. Quiet sort.
Well.
Fact is, I think Sarah's deep and dumb. Ella Mae does all the talking.
Well, where are they from?
Oh, Indiana somewhere. Let's see. Yeah, Gary, Indiana.
Gary?
Yeah.
Well, that's right there by Chicago, too.
Yeah.
You're getting a lot of trade from that part of the country, aren't you?
Yeah, you know them three fellas that come in yesterday in that airplane? They're from Chicago, too.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of funny. All getting here about the same time, too.
Yeah, that ad I put in the paper up there seems to have did more good than any place else.
Well, there's another quarter. That's a dollar and a quarter I made today.
Dollar and a quarter?
Yes, sir. I've learned something about this bellhopping. See, I just fill the pitchers about half full of water now. They got to call down quicker that way.
Oh, for pity's sake.
Okay, you make some good money off those fellas, Abner, if they stay long enough, won't you?
Oh, yeah, they're mighty nice fellas, too. Friendly. Call me Uncle.
Uncle?
I reckon I'll put them in mine or some of their relays. Hey, Lom, you said this Union farm was too big for me, but them fellas up there said they thought it was way yonder too little for me. Want to know if this collar choked me.
Choked you?
Lomy. Well, here, I got to get back to store, fellas. I'll see you fellas tonight, then.
Yeah, come over early, Dick. We're going to have a big time.
Yeah, don't worry.
Don't miss none of it.
We'll be over just quick to eat supper.
Good. Granny, I can't hardly wait till tonight.
No.
Wish Choo-Choo Pie hadn't chewed up them sports shoes of mine.
Say, Lon, I didn't want to say nothing while Dick was here, but you know that little girl of the Smiths, little Gwendolyn?
Yeah.
Well, she's up there in 206 playing cards with them three fellas from Chicago.
Playing cards?
Yeah, gambling. That rascal sitting up there got so many chips stacked up in front of her, she can't hardly see over the top of them. Take a show dog to leap them.
Well, is her mama and papa in there with her?
No, just her and them three fellas.
Well, somebody ought to tell them. They'll be uneasy about her.
Well, they needn't be uneasy about her. I heard one of the fellas say just before I opened the door that she was $800 ahead of the game.
$800?
That's what they say. And while I was in there, they tried to make out like they was playing for fun, you know.
I bet her mom and papa's looking everywhere for her.
Yeah, she's a tough little rascal, I'll tell you that. I was coming down the hall this morning and heard the whole family have Marukas in there.
Did I?
Oh, she was bawling her mama and papa out to a fare you well.
Well, I do know. She looks to be such a sweet, well-behaved youngin', too.
Well, she never sounded that way this morning. I never heard such talk from a child.
Hmm. Well, what all did she say?
Well, I didn't hear too much. She was saying something about that they needn't think they could run over her just because of her size. Said she'd had enough on both of them to send them up the river for life.
Imagine talking to her parents that way.
Wants them to go on a fishing trip, I figure.
She ought to be ashamed.
Well, she don't call her mama and papa neither. Calls her papa Duke and her mama Mame.
Duke and Mame.
Yeah. She said if they didn't come through with her part or something or other, she was going back to Chicago. She had a chance for her old job back with the carnivals or something.
Well, independent little thing.
Oh, she stands right up to
them. Threatening to go out in the world and make her own way.
Well, it sure made a man. They laid in and started calling her dwarf and midget and everything else.
Oh, that's a shame when families get to fussing that way.
Bogus, I never seen such strange people in my life as there is around this hotel here.
What do you mean, strange?
Well, in the first place, now, the way the Smith family's carrying on. And little Gwendolyn talking the way she does. Then there's Trixie signing them telegrams Blondie. Them fellas calling her Blondie whenever they come in yesterday. And her making out like she didn't know them then.
Yeah, I think I'm going to ask her about that.
And another thing, Lump, did you know that them three fellas that come in that airplane yesterday from Chicago ain't been out of their room since they got here?
Oh, well, maybe they're just tired out from their trip.
Well, it looks like they could at least come down for their meals.
Oh, ain't they been eating in the dining room?
No, they're having all their meals brought up to them. if you stayed around a hotel here instead of gallivanting around with Trixie all the time, you'd see some of this stuff that's going on.
Granny's, that does look sort of strange, don't
it? Why, sure. These two old maids that's staying here seem to be the only folks around here that's acting like people ought to be honest.
Yeah, they are mighty nice.
Oh, they're fine.
Two sweet old women.
You can tell. Fine folks.
I just think...
What is it, Cedric?
Cedric, are you through painting there in the hall?
We want to get that done before tonight, Cedric.
Well, I ain't quite through, but I just wanted to tell you something I seen just now.
What is it?
Well, I was painting that door to the room where the two old maids is just now, and I happened to look through the transom.
Oh,
Cedric, and one of the old maids, that biggest one, was sitting there in a chair with her feet propped up on the table smoking a big cigar.
Smoking a cigar?
Oh, for goodness sakes. Old woman like that.
Lonely.
And that gray hair she's been wearing was hanging on a foot of the bedstead.
Huh?
It's a wig. I had to leave to keep from laughing right out loud.
Well, just what kind of people are these who are taking up residence in the quiet, peaceful Mountain View Inn? Be sure to join us again in our next regular transcribed visit down in Pine Ridge.